Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and welcome once again to the Us Lifting Us Thursday night call, Dare to Win call. We're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, always bringing forth some vital information that our people certainly need. And we talk about some of everything. And tonight, we've got a very, very vital topic, or continuation of a very, very vital topic. And we absolutely ask you to take notes. It's vital that you take notes and come forth and participate in with your comments and questions and your knowledge about the subject that we're dealing with tonight. And Ulu Radio is sponsored by Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, that's advancing the cooperative economics model, the only sane model for us, in our original model, cooperative economics. And if you have not done so, make sure that you go to the webpage, usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. And also, while you're there, make sure that you join the mailing list so that you can be informed about our continuing Thursday night calls, Dare to Win calls, as well as other continuing education events that we do each year. And you can, if you're listening to us by telephone and you have comments or questions after you give us a few minutes to get started, you can reach us at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And you press the number 1 to speak. We'll put you in the queue so that we can put you live on the air. And we also heard around the world, not by just by telephone, but by internet radio. And you can tune in to the Thursday night Dare to Win call by internet radio by going to the Us Lifting Us homepage. That's usliftingus.com. And when you get to the homepage, you look for up at the top of the top bar, it says Ulu Radio. You click on that, and then when it changes to the next page, you look down to the bottom, the box that says Listen Live, and you click on that, and that will open up Blog Talk Radio, and you will be able to hear us live when you tune in at 9 o'clock. It doesn't come on until 9 o'clock. And once again, that's you can tune in by internet radio at usliftingus.com. And we thank you again for joining the family. And I'm Brother Thurman, an Us Lifting Us member. And I'm joined by Sister Q, who is also a faithful Us Lifting Us member. And we want to go ahead and get started with the conversation. But first, I want to welcome and thank for all of the sisters and brothers that's listening around the world to this conversation. And we all give a big thanks and much praise to your Sister Q for the work that you do.
Peace, Brother Thurman. Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm looking forward to the information, and I'm always glad to be in the company of sisters and brothers like you.
My pleasure. My job. It might as well be a pleasure. It's what I'm here to do.
Good. And so the topic, I failed family to give the topic title. The topic title is No Guns for Negroes, Part 2, Perception Manipulation. And this is Part 2 that is a continuation of the vital information that was given out. I believe it was June the 1st, 2023. It's on the It's in the archives of Blog Talk Radio. And please take notes. This is some very vital information that ideally tonight we should have 10 or 20,000 sisters and brothers taking in this information that not many are aware of. And Sister Q, would you please give a brief review of No Guns for Negroes, Part 1?
Thank you, Brother Thurman. In part one, we determined that the official, unofficial gun policy of the United States and the several states is no guns for Negroes. We cited several court outcomes that gave us, that led us to that conclusion. And we also spoke about a case that happened in 1941. It was a case in Florida called Watson versus Stone. And the judge, one of the judges in the case, Judge J. Buford, explained that the Florida gun control laws were passed for the purpose of disarming the Negro laborers and was never intended to be applied to the white population. So when we could take that to mean that that's, in theory, it's against the law. In theory, the law is supposed to be applied equally. So they passed the law, but then they applied the way they want to. So they wanted to get rid of, they wanted to take the guns from the Negroes. So they passed the law, and then they don't apply it to the white folks. In part one, we also went back to a recent discussion called We Have Been Lied To About Everything, the Mockingbird Media, and we wanted to examine why black folks today are demanding to be disarmed. In that discussion, we talked about the fifth generation warfare, and we said that the mind is the battlefield. So what's going on in our minds, or with our minds, that causes us to think that it's a good idea for us to be disarmed?
Okay. Thank you for those opening words, Sister Q. And family, please take note and keep in mind that this, after tonight, in the next day or two, it will be archived on Blog Talk Radio, and you just look for the, of course, the date, June 29th, 2023. The topic is No Guns for Negroes, Part 2, perception manipulation. It's in the archives. It's very important that you re-listen to this. It's very important that you share it with sisters and brothers. And Sister Q, let's move forward with tonight's discussion.
Sure. Okay, so tonight we'll talk a little bit about what happens when the mind is the battlefield. In that instance, the maneuvers of the adversary are commonly called psychological operations or PSYOPs. It's also called brainwashing. It's also called PR and perception manipulation. So according to the Department of Defense, U.S. Army Field Manual 13-1, PSYOP, or psychological operations, are defined as any form of communication in support of objectives to influence the opinions, emotions, attitudes, or behavior of any group in order to benefit the sponsor, either directly or indirectly. Again, that's any form of communication in support of objectives to influence the opinions, emotions, attitudes, or behavior of any group in order to benefit the sponsor, either directly or indirectly. Now, this came from the U.S., the Department of Defense U.S. Army Field Manual. However, every branch of U.S. military has its own psychological warfare unit, at least one. And, of course, you know, the CIA has one and the FBI has one. And the TV stations have one. So everybody's worn on, playing in your head. Now, according to a guy named Marshall McLuhan, who is a Canadian philosopher whose work forms part of the cornerstone of media theory, okay, World War III is a guerrilla information war with no distinction between military and civilian participation. World War III. Now, we didn't know that World War III was going on. We were told World War II ended the wars, but he's saying World War III, a guerrilla information war with no distinction between military and civilian participation. That means that it's not just your armies or your militias or whoever that are participating or playing in your head. It can be anybody that's playing in your head. And this is, he says, this is media theory. So he's letting you know that the media is in on this too. Okay, so now we go a little bit more about fifth generation warfare. It's not new. They're now talking about it, but it's not new. The Art of War by Sun Tzu gives many examples of ways to defeat your adversary by manipulating his perception. For example, Sun Tzu says, when strong appear weak, when weak appear strong. And, of course, the opening line of the book is, Supreme Art of War is to subdue the enemy without fighting. And what's the best way to subdue the enemy without fighting? That would be to get in the enemy's head and make him think there's no point in him or her fighting. And we know that the slogan for the Israeli Mossad, which is their equivalent to the CIA, I guess you could say, it says, by means of deception, we shall wage war. So deception is, again, giving information that will cause you to do something that is not in your own best interest as far as the war is going on is concerned.
So very, very powerfully informative, Sister Q. And it just what you've brought to us brings up so many things that we should be really taking a stroll through our mind to see what we would come up with once we've ingested this kind of information. And Mm-hmm. When you read that last line, by means of deception, we shall wage war, by means of deception. And Sister Q, would waging war, is unlimited in how many different areas they would do that? I mean, would they do that through food in a political circle and religious circles? Is it wide open?
Yes.
The way, go right ahead.
Every avenue of activity or behavior can be turned against whoever you want to turn it against and cause them to do things that's not to their benefit. So you can talk them into eating or make food make stuff available for them to eat that is not really food, that's not going to benefit their body, may have a detrimental effect on their mind. You can get them to use products on their body that is going to weaken their body instead of strengthening them. You can feed them an information diet that causes them to hate themselves and do things to harm themselves rather than to build themselves up. There is actually no limit to what all you can use as a tool to get, you know, as a tool, a weapon against people. And that's basically what the Pentagon, the U.S., they call it the Department of Defense, but actually they're warring against the people, the civilian population, and particularly the people of melanin. They study melanin to the nth degree. They know more about melanin than I think anybody does because they need to know how to stop us. We don't study it because, well, most of us don't, put it like that, because that's just us. Okay, so we kind of take ourselves for granted, but for the study us, understand the power of just the melanin by itself. And so they spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out ways to get us to destroy themselves, because in my estimation, they've already figured out that they can't destroy us because of the melanin. So what they do is they work on getting us to do things that are against our own interests so we can destroy the melanin and kill ourselves, basically.
Cruel, cruel war. And family, we have the responsibility. And so as our ancestors passed the word that we have a responsibility, and they say it, which is very, very vital, those who know must teach. That's what Sister Q is passing on, this information that she has researched, and it's very vital that we are aware of it and we pass it on, we teach it to the people so that they will have greater clarity and we can confusion out of their head. Family members, as I've said at the beginning of the call, make sure you're taking notes. Make sure you go to the Blog Talk Archives and replay this. This is June 29th, 2023. And make sure that you pass it on, forward it to your family members, sisters and brothers, wherever they are on this planet. And we've got the responsibility. War is being waged on us. They're telling us some of the basics of how they have planned this for a long, long time, and that war is being waged right now, as Sister Q read, where World War III is a guerrilla information war, not going to be, is. And we've got a responsibility to counter what's being done to us, get our mind on the black side of the chessboard. And as they continue to make moves to checkmate us, we are sharp enough that we're defending ourselves and our right to live and our sanity and defending the planet included. And we make a move to counter their moves to keep them from checkmating us and destroying us. I meant to say in the last 2 minutes, family members listening by telephone and by internet radio, as you're taking this in and taking notes, you got any questions or comments that's vital to the subject that we're talking about tonight, please, by telephone, call in at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad to put you in the queue to speak. And put the queue in moving on with this conversation. When did the general population begin to be targeted with perception manipulation on a grand scale?
I think let's go historically. On November 25th, 1910, Andrew Carnegie established a $10 million endowment to hasten the abolition of international war. $10 million doesn't sound like a lot to us now, but in those days, $10 million was a lot of money. The question that the trustees of the endowment was asked is there any way known to man more effective than war to so alter the life of an entire people? So he wanted to change the way people thought and how they behaved. And at that time, they thought that war was the only way to do it. So the trustees worked on the problem for a year, and then they concluded that war was the most effective way to change people. And after World War I, the same group of trustees determined that if they could get control of education in the United States, they would be able to prevent a return to the way of life as it had been prior to the war. And they asked the Rockefeller Foundation to help them with that task. That's why a lot of things you see that have to do with education, endowments, and grants and so forth come from the Carnegie Institute and from the Rockefeller Foundation. So I would say that when they decided to join forces to work on the education piece, I would say that's when mass perception manipulation began. Later on, they added in radio, cinema, television, and now we also have the internet and social media. All of these are perception manipulation devices, or brainwashing, if you want to be more blunt, but I'm trying to keep it nice here. So the ideas that they have, this was a man named Bertrand Russell. He said education should aim at destroying the free will so that pupils are thus schooled. They may be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of making or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. So started out planning to destroy your sense of who you are and going with your conscience when you make decisions. They wanted you to, you know, do what you're schoolmaster would have wished. And so students are trained. We like to say it's an education system. It's not trained. It's not education. The students are trained just as pets and other animals are trained to respond to stimuli, and they're rewarded when they respond correctly. And when we think back into when we went to school, like the games that we used to play, we had games like May I and Simon Says. We had musical chairs. We had Follow the Leader. And then we said, well, what did you learn from these games? Okay, Simon Says, do this, whatever this is, and you do what Simon says. 2 years ago, everything was Dr. Fauci says. Dr. Fauci says, wear one mask. Dr. Fauci says, wear two masks. Dr. Fauci says, you don't need a mask. Everything is to fit into the little categories that we were given as children. And so we operate as if, you know, our teachers will be very proud of us for doing exactly what Dr. Fauci said did. So the purpose of the so-called education system, or what we like to call the miseducation system, is to formalize the perception manipulation process. What we have been trained to call education is standardized warfare in our minds. It gets us all on the same page, so to speak. So everybody is trained to respond in the exact same way to whatever stimuli is presented. John Rockefeller said, I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of workers. What they wanted was people who could do what the task was that was presented to them without thinking about it, without figuring out how they could do it better or anything. Just do the work and shut up. So it doesn't matter what the subject matter is. We are trained to accept whatever we are told by the experts and by authority. The experts and authority just do and say whatever they're told. So no one is thinking and no one is asking questions. Let's go back to COVID when all of these people were on the news saying wear a mask, or they were doing the press reviews, not press, what are they called, press conferences, and they were passing on the directives. And there were certain times where the news people would show someone saying, well, I don't really think about this. I just say what they tell me to say, or I just read the statement that they give me to read. And that's basically my job. So that's what we have become, a nation of people who just follow the leader, you know, and do what we're told to do. And who is the leader? What is their agenda? What are they trying to lead us into? We don't think about that, but we should.
I absolutely agree. And that's just some more information that you've added, which is to try to put that in words. I mean, it's a powerful blow up against our spirit and our mind.
Absolutely.
To say, take this, and if you don't take it, they're going to keep up their war against your mind to make you take it. Unless you, you become strong and become you become a warrior, and you reject. This is just what you just finished talking about the last few minutes is a horror story that they have well laid out, well thought out, and money, lots of money, millions of, you know, 10 million in 1910. And how dare us accept this? How dare us not to be taking notes and replay this and pass this on to the people? How dare us to continue to accept their miseducation. How dare us to be getting ready to ingest and get sick food in the next few days or several days, and how dare us to be watching, wanting to go watch some violence, which is called fireworks, violent people do violent activities, and they call it just fun and patriotic. How dare us? I mean, it's a horror story. I'm trying to put it simple. What else do I call it? This is a horror story. And family members, we thank you for listening by telephone and by internet radio that you are ingesting this. And the larger number of people, as far as I know on the planet, know nothing about this, even though this is information that's in public record. So thanks. Much praise to you, Sister Q, for bringing forth more of this information that's available through research. And family members, once again, if you got any questions or comments, we value you. And you can reach us at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, and press number 1 on your telephone when you have a question or comment. And nobody's on the line at the time, and I can appreciate some of the reasons, strong reasons why, because they're taking in this information, and I certainly am. Sister Q, what does the U.S. education system have to do with Black folk demanding to be disarmed? Please tell us about that.
Okay. So when, by the time most of us leave the miseducation system, we are very well trained. When we sit down in front of the television, the training that we receive in school is reinforced. So in school, we learn that there's only one right answer to any question. When we sit down in front of the television, we get our one right answer for whatever the issue of the day is, and we are shown how to dress, what to eat, what to wear, etc. That's where the commercials come in. You know, you want to look like everybody else. You want to, wear what the rich and famous are wearing or do as the rich and famous are doing. So that's reinforced when you sit down in front of the television. Excuse me a minute. Okay. So the television, this makes Brother Sermon, will you speak for a minute? Let me do something for my crew here.
Yes, Sister Q. And family members, while Q that have brought forth so much good information, and information like this can be very challenging to an awakened mind to ingest it and express it to the people, then it can have an effect on us. And so give a sense of love.
Okay,
I'm back. And, Sister Q, yes, go right here, Sister.
Okay, so I'm back. So as I was saying, we get our one right answer for whatever the issue of the day is from the television or the television. Now, with the media, the Mockingbird media, that is a PSYOP operation that was put in place by the CIA. And it terrorizes people with a steady diet of so-called random gun violence. The media puts forth gun control as the only solution. That's their one right answer. So after a while, the people begin to think that the one right answer to all of this gun violence is that we must have gun control or people must be disarmed. Now, there are instances where somebody, say, went to a mall or a shopping center or someone or somewhere with the intention of shooting up the place, right? And they got there and maybe they shot a person or two, and there was an armed member of the community in that place, and they shot the person who was intending to do a whole lot of harm. We don't hear too much about those stories because it doesn't support the narrative. The narrative is that you need to disarm people in order to keep, you know, gun violence, to have gun violence go away. Whereas in some of these instances, most of them, I think, the sheriff will say, I'm not going to charge this person with a crime because if they hadn't been here with their gun and did what they did, we would have had a lot more carnage. But they don't play that on the news. They want us to think that gun control is the answer. So when we sit down to watch the news or to watch television at all, there's a flicker rate that puts us in like a state of suspended animation or something. Our brain is open. We're receiving information. We're receiving images and everything like that. But we are not actively participants in the process. So everything is just going into our heads and we don't rebut it on our own end or anything. And they're relying on that as well to keep us under manners, so to speak. So most of us have no knowledge of any of the tricks that the government actors have up their sleeves. We've been trained to accept that what we see on the news is true and accurate. And we accept it without questioning. Again, that goes back to the flicker rate and the fact that we've been trained to accept the word of experts and authority without question. Okay. And that's how we've been duped. We have been and we continue to be lied to about everything, particularly it's like if you turn on the news and they're talking about something, they're lying. Okay. There's no overpopulation, global warming, global cooling, global climate catastrophe, COVID, the mass shootings, everything is lies. And what all of this has in common is the intent to keep us afraid. It's one fear factor after another. And the reason for that is what? Because we're not, as long as you're in fear, you are not thinking. They don't want you to think. Rockefeller told you that. He don't want you to think. He wants you to just work. So you sit down to, and again, that's part of the programming that once you get out of school, you know, as an adult, to know what's going on in the world, you have to sit down and watch the news. And that's what we do. And we're taught that listen to the authority, listen to the experts. They have our best interests at heart. All of that is lies. Okay. So that's something that we need to be aware of as well. That you can't trust anything these people say. Yeah, we have to I would say when you sit down to, don't just sit down and relax and watch the news. You have to put your mind into it, you know, argue it, what they're saying. If they're saying something, you know, I don't believe that, you know, whatever. Just don't let all of this stuff go into your brain without any resistance at all. And I'm going to give you an example of something that that took place recently. Okay, so we had two occasions where we were shown footage of a line of cars traveling along the road, right? And in each case, we were told that what we were seeing was Donald Trump moving from point A to point B. And I think that if you ask almost anyone who watched that footage, ask them what they saw, they will say they saw Donald Trump moving from point A to point B. But think about it. What did you really see? All you saw was a line of cars moving. The person that was reading the teleprompter or whatever said, this is live footage of Donald Trump on his way from here to there. And if you watch the footage, what you saw was it was not live because they kept looping it. Okay? They kept showing the same bit of road with the same number of cars, but they were telling you this is live footage. Now, I will say that the first occasion and the second occasion had separate footage, but at no time did you see Donald Trump. All you saw were a bunch of cars, okay? But people would say, oh, yeah, I saw it. I saw Donald Trump. He was going from here and he was going from here, and he had all of these cars. You saw a lot of cars moving, but you didn't see Donald Trump. And that's, I think one of the best ways for us to look at this stuff is when you watch the news, think of it as like when you watch a movie and you just say, it's a movie. I don't believe it. You know, it didn't happen the way they're telling you. And part of the reason I say that, because they make the news, they make your news in very much the same way that they make movies. They do the screen, the green screen thing. Now, one of the things is they will tell us, everybody knows that there's green screen involved in the weather part of the news, because we always joke about, you know, they're standing in front and pointing this thing, pointing over there and pointing, but they're standing in front of a green screen, those numbers and things are not there. We already know that, but we don't think in terms of the other things that they show us on the news could also be done. We have what they call content creators, who are people that hire people to go make a scene. I'll say it like that. They make a scene and they record it. And then they sell it to the news. And if the news likes the scene they created, then they'll put it on the news, and this is what you think actually really happened, and it didn't happen at all. A good case for that was during COVID, there was a lady filmed. She used her camera on her phone to film what was actually being done, and then she put it on, then she filmed what was on her news that night. And what happened was there was a lot of traffic, and when the traffic stopped, for the green light, when the light turned red and the traffic stopped, this guy came out with a placard that said something about COVID, because it was during COVID time. So I don't remember what the placard said, but there was a film crew filming him as he stood in front of the stopped traffic. And then when the light turned green for the cars to go, he would get out of the way, and the cars would go, and then the light would turn red again, and he would get back out there, and then they start filming again. So this is the lady that was filming, that was recording this on her camera, filmed the whole sequence, okay? Then she showed on her evening news that night that they had a story, and they said that this man had stopped traffic and caused the major traffic backup because he was protesting how people were dealing with COVID. And that's not what happened at all. And then remember, we had the people that they were alleged healthcare people, healthcare workers, that went to the protest, and they were talking about how dangerous it was for people to be out and about and this, that, and the other. And when you think about it, anybody can go to the mall, and it doesn't even have to be a mall. You can go to the store and buy scrubs. Anybody could buy scrubs. But our programming is that if we see somebody in scrubs, they must be healthcare workers. So if you see on the news that a couple of people in scrubs, a couple of women with scrubs and this little thing around their neck or whatever, that they must actually be healthcare workers. And they're not necessarily. They are crisis actors or actors pretending to be whatever, to support the narrative that the idea is that they want everybody to feel like they're in great danger because of, at that time it was COVID. But they changed the, whatever the scenario is, they change it from time to time. So,
Mr. Q.
Yes.
Yes, I just want to didn't want to interrupt your flow, but I want to remind the listening audience and anybody that came on late that this conversation, as well as the previous part one, and this is part two about No Guns for Negroes, part two, perception manipulation, and there was some powerful information given at part one, where I believe it was June the 1st of 2023. And it has tonight. And please make sure that you go to Blog Talk. It will be archived and be there in the next 2 or 3 days or sooner. And make sure that you listen to it and take in this information that very few have been made aware of. And this is things that you can find yourself in public record. And it's vital that go to Blog Talk and go to the archives and listen to it again and pass it to your friends. And Sister Q, we do have a caller that's waiting with some questions or comment before the time runs out. Okay. Caller with the last four numbers, 3440. 3440, please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your question or comment.
Yes, greetings and good evening, Sister Q, Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka. I'm calling from Boca Raton today, Florida. Just happened to be here today. And Sister Q, you have a very important and instructive topic today. And what you described in terms of how people take things out of context and assume, you know, now I'm definitely no supporter of Trump, but you know, when they were talking about Trump indictment and all of this security violation that he done, and what they showed you was a picture of all these boxes. Now, those boxes could be anything, because I could look at the boxes in my storage, you know, and take a picture of it, and it would look like the boxes that you saw there. We don't know what's in the boxes. We only see what the person who is talking. So I can see definitely how it manipulated. Training and education that we experience, that it's not really education but training. And I want to, if you can, connect that with a very important instrument that you cited, and that was television. Is the school system preparing us, or is the television just another instrument that is used, all right, in order to capture our mind and misinform us? So I'm saying, is the school system preparing us for the television, or they're both two instruments that are being used by the powers that be in order to influence thought and to control thought? What's your view on that?
I would say that they work hand in glove, that they're both different types of instruments that are to do the same thing. Because remember that at the beginning we said that the psychological warfare it is against civilians and the military. It's military operation, but it's against civilians as well. So they use everything that they can to control people's minds. And the school is one way. They get the little children kind of like turn their brain to mush. And then the TV keeps the process going as we get older, and the movies and the social media, how people are manipulated with the so-called influencers on social media. So I think the whole process is that it must be kept going for 24 hours a day as close to 24 hours a day as possible. It starts in school. And it doesn't really start in school, because a lot of us put our children in front of the television even before they go to school. And you know how people put their children to watch the cartoons, and they don't realize it's like the cartoon is children's programming. That's what it's called, children's programming. So
right.
I take my child and sit him in front of the TV to watch children's programming, and I don't watch that. I don't know what they're feeding my childhood with at that point. Now that they're coming against the the LGBTQ, all those other alphabet people, now that they're trying to show how they are attacking the children, they're also disclosing how many of the children's programs have been actually subtly grooming children, what they call grooming children, for years. But nobody was paying attention. Now that is kind of like out in the open. Now people are trying to wind it back to see where it starts. But that was always the intention. So it started with Mickey Mouse. You know, it started with the Mickey Mouse Club and the Disney and all those other children's programs. So even those of us who grew up when TV was new, we were getting that as well.
Right. Okay, thank you so much. Let me ask you one quick question. I know that you time is of the essence, but what is it that you think that we need to do? Right, because, you know, about 99% of our people are unaware of this. I haven't read the manuals coming out of the Department of Defense, which you know, it used to be called the War Department.
The War Department.
And they changed it to the War Department. And they changed it right after World War II. They call it Department of Defense. All right, but it was the War Department. You know, the implication is you make war. What do you think some of us that might be aware of it and have followed it? Like I said, 99% of our people are not really aware of this, and that's 99%.
Exactly.
Plus.
Well, I think Those of us that know can try to get the information to other people as well. However, one of the things that we notice is that, I think they call it like a fail-safe mechanism, that if we say this kind of stuff to people that have been very well trained, what will they say? They'll call us a conspiracy theorist. They'll say that whatever their training says to call us now. That's what they'll call us, and they'll shut us out. So the only thing that we can do, I think, is know what we know, live what we know, and then as people ask us questions, we could try to point them in the right direction. Or, you know, if people say something that indicates that they're willing to hear what we have to say on a particular subject, just drop it and go. If we try to argue with people, they're going to feel that they have to defend their position. And they will shut down and will not listen to anything we have to say. So we have to just, you know, be ready for when they're ready to come and ask us questions. Because people are actually becoming aware that something is wrong. But, like you said, it's 99%. So everybody, if I become aware of this and everyone around me is still not aware of it, and I try to say something to them about it, they will attack me. So in self-defense, I will generally keep my mouth and try to find someone who I could drop a sentence and see if I get the right answer, or overhear somebody saying something and say, well, maybe they know what I'm talking about, or something like that. But I really don't
Thank
see.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very important what you just said there. You know, as a mechanism to instruct. Don't really get in any argument. All right. I thank you very much for that, Sister Q.
It's my pleasure, Brother Shabaka. Thank you for the questions.
Yes. Thank you again, Brother Shabaka. And thank you for your response, Sister Q. Sister Q, once again, I want to remind the listening audience, please go to Blog Talk Archives in the next day or two to re-listen to this broadcast and to forward it to people, because we need to be made aware and we need to put a stop to this madness and stop to the ones that would dare, in spite of the information that's been presented tonight, as well as, I believe it was, if I'm correct, June the 1st, 2023, on part one. This is part two. And people were aware and really let the words of this horror story that you just brought to us, I would expect that the African mind within would reawaken and they wouldn't be celebrating violence with fireworks and pork chops and soda and flags in the next few days. They would reawaken their mind and stop committing self-genocide and celebrating the ones that have instituted everything that you presented to us tonight. And Sister Q, yes, I'm sure you've got some more that if we could stay for the next hour or so, but in the next couple of minutes. And it's an ongoing subject. That's why it's so wonderful that after you did part one, that and also that there were people that commented about doing a part two, and you came back and did a very necessary addition to this, and so it certainly is more to be presented and to discuss about how do we respond and how do we respond to the movement to encourage our people to be okay and to vote to disarm, in view of the fact that the ones that are encouraging you to disarm, they haven't, and they have no intention of doing it. The gun shows are very, very profitable for some decades now, and they still are. Mm-hmm. And people don't go to the gun show just to buy a little .22 handgun and a box of 20 shells. They go to the gun show and load up with massive amounts of weapons and ammunition for some reason. But yet, Sister Q, any closing words that you want to give our family along with this powerful information? The family, please go to the archives and review this information and pass it on. Go right ahead, Sister Q. Closing words.
One thing that I want to say, because you know, like now on the news, they're talking about, the greatest threat to democracy is white males and toxic white masculinity. And white nationalism is the problem, and white supremacy, and they're saying all of this on the news now. So the purpose of that, don't be deceived. Don't think that now they're your new best friend. The purpose of that is to get you to think that it's okay for you to give up your guns because the government is going to go after the white folks for you. It's not going to happen. So everything... Just remember, everything you hear on the TV and in many cases the radio too is not for your benefit. It's all mind control, mind manipulation. So you have to really go inside of yourself and understand who you are, who put you here, why you're here, and what you're here to do, and go from there. And turn off the TV. I wouldn't say turn off the TV. I would say study, because as Brother Shabaka said, 99% of the people are under the influence of it. So we need to study the TV so we know why they're acting the way they're acting. And then when we get our cultural centers, we can kind of help clean up the mess that's been made. I think that's enough.
Good word. Good word. Family, we thank you so much for participating and taking in this information, and make sure that you pass it on to our sisters and brothers around the world. As Sister Q said a minute ago, we need to go inside of ourselves, which we must do that so that we will really get greater and greater clarity, because our inside, going within ourselves, can reveal to us information that we have not allowed to reveal itself because we're so busy with this outside information, including the massive lies in all subject areas. So go within oneself, and war is being waged. It has never stopped. In spite of that, we must go within, and we must visit the Garden of Peace often, to maintain our sanity, to awaken our African greatness. And so as the ancient Africans say, the higher side of sanity requires being quiet more. We'll be back here next Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. with another vital topic, and hopefully sometime in the very near future, Sister Q will come back and do a part 3, because there's more to this subject. And we thank you, and much praise to you, Sister Q, for bringing this vital information that's a horror story about this war that's being waged and how they've been planning it for many, many decades before we were born. And we've got to move forward, but in the meantime, maintain our sanity and visit the Garden of Peace often. Thank you, family.
Thank you, Brother Thurman.
Ashe. And... have a reason. Family did have a musical piece to exit with, but for whatever reason, it will not.
There it is. Peace.
Godless Peace by Ronnie Lipson Smith.